With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's hit the Schneider Orange Hotline and welcome in host of the Bucks post game in Milwaukee on the Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. And so the Bucks season ends in a game 7 loss. First of all, let me just ask you, in that series, just that particular series, Stevie, were you impressed with the Bucks at least taking it 2-7?
No, I was impressed with the Bucks in games 2 and 3. I was impressed, or not games 2 and 3, games 3 and 4. I was impressed by the physicality and how hard they played. Physically in 3 and 4. And they got Brad Stevens talking about how they were getting dominated physically. And that's something you haven't seen in 3 years from the Bucks playing that hard and that physical. Jabari Parker wasn't even playing defense for a couple of games. So that was the most impressive games of the series, probably the most impressive games of the last 3 years of the Kidd regime coaching staff, outside of that one game against the Raptors where they dominated the Raptors defensively. But that was that hair on fire, helter-skelter defense. That wasn't really a physical-style defense like they showed there. So I think that was probably the most impressive part. And then the Bucks became the Bucks and squandered it in Game 7 and played the way they played most of the year in Game 7.
Did it give you an indication, though, at least it was a small sample of those two games, that
No, I knew you were going to do that. No, just stop. Would you just stop? Listen, we're not going to know what the potential of this team is until they get a new coaching staff in here and some new direction. And then let's see what the offseason looks like. I was going back and forth with another member of the media last night, and he and I were going back and forth about scenarios and stuff, and we both agree it's going to be a very long summer. Because of the Jabari Parker thing with restricted free agency, whoever the new coach is going to be, will that coach have final say? Will they hire a president of basketball operations to oversee everything? Will John Horst have any say as general manager going forward? Will he still be the general manager going forward? Or will he have a different role in this whole thing? Will they trade Eric Bledsoe? What will they do about other members of this roster?
Getting a big man, yeah.
There are so many questions that surround this team. There's not been really even a future you can play in and go, okay, I know this is going to be next year. The only thing I know for sure next year is Giannis will be on the team. Outside of that, it's all question marks.
Well, that being said, I wonder if, and I want to ask you this, but I wonder if it's fair then, because I've heard the term dysfunction around this organization in a number of different outlets. And is that a fair assessment, though, or is that just overblown a little bit?
Well, I think it depends on how you want your team run. I mean, if you like it run with owners having their fingers all over it, general manager, and then the president of the organization, Peter Fagan, is involved in the basketball side, too. So you've got John Horst, Peter Fagan, Wesley Edens. Those three for sure are involved in basketball stuff. And then I don't even know how much play, you know, a Lazary has in all of this, whether it be Mark or Alex, how much play they have in the basketball side of things. Because, again, Mark doesn't have the control necessarily, the final say at the end of the day for one more year. Then he gets say for 5 years, and Wesley Edens has to take a back seat so Lazary can run it the way he wants. That also doesn't lead to a promising future either when we're switching power back and forth every 5 years going forward. So I don't like it the way it's set up. I never have. I didn't like it when Herb Cole was meddling. I don't like it this way either. My belief is you hire a president of basketball operations as the owner. As the owner, odds are you're not a former NBA guy. Now, you know, if you're Michael Jordan, okay, that's a little bit different. But if you made your money in hedge funds and everything else, you may learn about the game of basketball as you're an owner because you're going to learn stuff. But that still, in my opinion, doesn't give you the right to get involved in that side. You made your money doing the business side of things. So continue to do that. You've got a great arena that's going to be one of the best in the NBA. I can't wait for it. You're going to have that live block across the street that's going to have all kinds of entertainment and drinking and food and activities and all that other stuff that they're going to have year-round. That's awesome. You built a gigantic, beautiful training facility that's among the best in the NBA. That's gorgeous. You've done a great job as far as integrating yourself in the community, A-plus there. They've done a lot of great stuff as an ownership group since they've come in. All I want is, I want a real president of basketball operations that's been in the league for a long time and is respected around the league and has done something. And then let that person run that side of the operations and let everybody else worry about the business side that's not on the NBA side. And I'm probably wishful thinking here, and it'll probably never happen, but that's how I prefer it to be.
I'll get to Giannis here in just a second, but I think it's a little unfair to pile on the dysfunction, meaning they fired Jason Kidd, because that to me means their bar was higher than the performance level that this organization was at. So I don't know if that's necessarily dysfunction. And number two would be Jabari Parker squawking about, you know, playing time and things like that. And that's the way I would want my player. But I would want him to do it privately, of course. But those two things, I think fair.
Okay, but how about the way they hired Jason Kidd? How about the way that they're having Jabari Parker's first interview, press conference, and while that's happening with Larry Drew and John Hammond, they're working behind the scenes to get a deal done to get Jason Kidd from Brooklyn to Milwaukee and completely screw Larry Drew, who's still under contract at that point, thinking he's going to be the head coach. That seems dysfunctional to me. And how about how they went about hiring the general manager and hiring a search firm and having Rob Thorne be a guy that's going to help to lead it and make his recommendations and all these other people? How did John Horst get the job? Because they couldn't agree on any of the other more proven candidates amongst themselves in order to hire them. The only one they could agree on was the guy that was in-house way down the totem pole that, okay, fine. If he's going to be the guy, okay, fine, then we'll at least we'll have some say of what we want to do. That's how that whole thing played out. That is not right. You don't hear that stuff happening in Dallas with Jerry Jones, right? He makes the call. That's it. When Jerry Jones was the owner of the Cowboys, he didn't hide anything. Look, I'm the general manager, too. When Al Davis was the owner of the Raiders, there was no GM. He was the GM. He just said it how it was. So if Wesley Edens or the Bucks owners want to play GM, then don't have a GM. Save yourself the salary. Have a director of player personnel, director of college scouting and all that, and you make the moves. Be done with it. I said the same thing when Herb Cole was here. I have no problem with that. I can respect that because now I know where the blame lies with you, because you are taking ownership with it. But when you throw out a general manager and act like, well, I don't have any say whatsoever. No, it's all him. And everybody in the world knows it's not. That angers me, if nothing else. And then, you know, the general manager comes on the air and says what he says. And then the player comes on the air and says what he says. And now everybody's looking around going, okay, so now who's telling the truth and who's not? That's more dysfunction going forward. So that, to me, that's all not good. None of that is good, in my opinion. You can dress it up however you want.
I want to.
They need the basketball side of that organization fixed. Because if it continues to run the way it's run, it's not going to work.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I can handle the truth. That's my favorite team. And okay, let's talk about something a little more positive. Can we? Joe's
We're
laughing.
We're going to talk about the Brewers?
No. Later on. Giannis. All right, and me, I'm more of a Bucks fan than an NBA fan. All right, final thing for you on Giannis. Just answer me this. The good players, the super stud type iconic players in the NBA, and a lot of people think Giannis can be that guy, right? Would we all be in agreement with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, when you get to a game in which the opposition is going to crash on you, they're going to try and shut you down, and my thought is, they do it to Kobe, or did it to Kobe. They do it to LeBron. They do it to the other super studs.
He had 45 in Game 7 and won the game for the Cavaliers in Game 7 against the Pacers.
Okay, so is that the next step for Giannis, that he has to intellectually, in terms of his basketball intelligence, he's got to realize, oh, yeah, I know what these dudes are doing against me. Here's what I do to adjust.
Yeah, he's grown leaps and bounds mentally the last couple of years as far as thinking the game of basketball, thinking a step or two ahead. He's grown significantly, I think, in the last couple of years. Now, like you said, he just has to figure out, how do I take a game over? How do I take it over so it's me against them and they can't do anything about it? That's, and, you know, continuing to work on that jump shot and the turnaround that he's got now that he's working on stuff like that. That's all part of the process. I said after game seven on the postgame show, I said, I'm not mad at Giannis. I guess I'm just disappointed because we had said the whole time that, or at least I had, that I thought if they were going to win a game in Boston, he was going to have a signature game. He was going to have a game where he was 40-plus probably or somewhere in that area for them to win a game in Boston because the team just struggled in general outside of game one shooting the basketball. And we just never got that. Of that series, Middleton was probably the most consistent offensive player in that series for the Bucks. And, you know, Giannis shoots 10 shots in one game and gets flack for it. He comes back the next game, shoots 23. And then Middleton only shoots 9 and is 8 of 9. And then his shots go away. And that is, again, I go back to a function of the coaching staff and the chemistry of the team and everything else. That all has to be fixed. You just have to figure out how to get your two best players shots.
Yep.
It just has to happen. You don't see a game where LeBron takes 10 shots. That's crazy. You don't see a game where Kyrie Irving takes 9 shots in Boston or whatever.
Despite the defense against, yes.
Your best players get your shot. That's it. That's how this goes. It's basketball. It's not that difficult. So, I think this all gets fixed in the offseason with what happens with Jabari, is he here long-term or not? What happens with the next head coach? How much say does he have or not have? How proven is he? Will they buy into what he wants? What kind of coach is he? Is he more of an offensive-minded coach, or is he more of a defensive-minded coach? Is he a guy that's going to be, you know, hard on the players, or is he going to coddle the players? Based on how Jason Kidd was hard on the players, that may not be the best way to go about it because it sounds like they need coddling. So I don't know which way they go there. There's just, and it sucks because you wanted this team to be contending for the East. You know, getting maybe to the second round of the Eastern Conference Finals, going into
the arena. Yep.
And it's that you're still sitting here talking about first-round losses. And this time, you lost the first round to a team without their two superstars, well, two stars, Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, and their next best player, or in that conversation, Marcus Smart, their best defender, didn't play for most of the series and played a pivotal role when he did play for Boston at the end of the series. And their best player, Jaylen Brown, didn't play in the second half of Game 7, and you still couldn't win the game.
Well, I'm not just saying as we close out the Bucks 2017-18 season. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, the host of the Bucks Post in Milwaukee on The Fan. If someone knows more about the Milwaukee Bucks in the state of Wisconsin, they need to show them to me because I don't believe it's anyone but this guy. Stevie, thanks, dude.
Hey, man, hold on a second. Are you really going to talk about a band in the next segment?
No, it's the Bucks, but it's the band of Bucks that I would like to keep together.
Oh, that's good. I thought you were talking about bringing back Streetlight. I was like, oh, my God.
Okay. All right. I got it. Sparky, I'm sorry. I have to drop you now. We are way up against the clock. Goodbye. See you later.
Yep.
We need a break right now.
You joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline here on the Bill Michaels Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.